Good evening. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board. It's December 3rd, 2020, and it's 8:39 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the board, and I'm convening this meeting. Madam Secretary, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Grace Aaron, KPFK listener, is here. Robin Collier, KCEI affiliate.
Here.
Good. Chris Corey, KPFA listener.
Here.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs, WPFW listener.
Awesome. Here. Because it's got...
Vanessa Dixon Briggs is here. Lyndon Foley, KPFT listener.
Here.
Good. Lyndon Foley is here. Jan Goodman, KPFK listener.
Here.
Jan Goodman is here.
What?
Heather Gray, WRFG affiliate.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray is here. Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA staff.
Here.
Good. Sabrina Jacobs is here. Wally James, KPFT staff.
Here.
Good. Wally James is here. Dwayne Lark, KPFT listener. Ron Pinchback, WPFW staff.
Here.
Good. Ron Pinchback is here. Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener. Sandra Rowland, WPFT listener.
I'm here.
Lawrence Ray. Good. Sandra Rowland is here. Lawrence Reyes, KPFK listener.
Present.
Good. Sean Rhodes, WBAI staff.
I am here.
Good. Sean is here. So is Lawrence. Eileen Rosin, WPFW listener.
Here.
Good. Eileen Rosin is here. James Sagerton, WBAI listener.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton is here. Nancy Sorden, WPFW listener.
Present.
Good. Nancy Sorden is here. Alex Steinberg, WBAI listener.
Present.
Okay. Alex Steinberg is here. Andrea Turner, KPFA listener. Not here yet. Paulina Vasiliev, KPFK staff.
I'm here.
Okay, Paulina Vasiliev is here. Tom Voorhees, KPFA listener.
Tom is here.
Good, Tom Voorhees is here. Lydia Brazon, Interim Executive Director. Anita Sims, Interim Chief Financial Officer.
Here.
Arthur Schwartz, Pacifica Council. John Tatum, Parliamentarian. John Tatum? Okay. Going back.
I'm here.
Chris Corey? Oh, okay. John Tatum is here. I thought you were. Chris Corey, KPFA listener?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Chris Corey is here.
Okay, good.
Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener? Dwayne Lark, KPFT listener?
Dwayne Lark.
All right. Dwayne Lark is here. Okay, very good. Thank you. Ralph Pointer, WBAI listener. All right, Mr. Chair, we have 21 members present. That is a quorum. We have the Chief Financial Officer here and the Parliamentarian as well.
Okay.
Chair Steinberg, this is Andrea. Andrea Turner, I'm on the call.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Andrea. I forgot you. Okay, Andrea Turner is here as well. So that means
okay,
that's okay.
People are present.
I'm letting you know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I have some a report out to read from the closed session of November 5th, and that closed session was continued on November 12th. So here's the report out.
The Pacifica National Board directs the IED to hire a national election supervisor to make sure that the membership lists at all stations are up to date and accurate. The Pacifica National Board met with the KPFK union attorney, KPFK general manager, and the IED regarding KPFK union negotiations. The Pacifica National Board voted to approve Pacifica Council's recommendations regarding a process for a potential bylaws referendum. Okay, that's the report out. The next item is excused absences, and I believe we have a full house, so there are no absences. Is that correct?
This is Lydia.
Oh, welcome, Lydia.
Thanks.
And the next item is timekeepers. Who would like to volunteer to be the timekeeper for topic?
Chair, this is Lawrence. Seek recognition.
Yes, Lawrence.
Yeah, I will volunteer to keep time on the items.
Excellent. Do we have a volunteer to be timekeeper for people?
Yeah. Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, you may.
This is James. I'll volunteer.
Excellent. And I would like to urge that everybody please mute yourselves until you're ready to speak. And when you do, when you are recognized, you may speak for 90 seconds. I will give you a little leeway if you have to finish a sentence or something like that, but try not to go over that too much. And okay, so we're ready for the agenda approval part of the agenda, and let me read the proposed draft agenda. First item is agenda approval, 5 minutes. Then there's approval of the minutes for the open session of November 5th, 2020, continued on November 12th, 2020. Then there's a report on the affiliate director nominations. That's a 15-minute item. That's followed by nomination for the position of secretary, since our current secretary, Grace Aaron, will be resigning from that position. That's a 15-minute item. That's followed by a report from our IED, Lydia Brazone. That's a 10-minute item. That's followed by a report from our ICFO, Anita Sims. That's another 10-minute item. And those are followed by our committee reports. I won't read the times for the various committees, but they're on the draft agenda, followed by unfinished business, and followed by a new business item regarding a motion for KPFT bank statements, followed by a request for a KPFT GM search be nullified, followed by a request to have, if I'm reading this correctly, a committee of the whole to discuss the GM search process at KPFT. Those are all under new business. And after that, we adjourn. Can I have a motion to accept the draft agenda?
I have a request.
What is your request, Lawrence?
Are we going to hear from the affiliate director nominees and not just a report from our secretary?
Yes.
I would like the stream to be informed.
That's the intention. That's going to be part of that segment.
Robin, may I be recognized?
The only item in order now is a motion to approve the draft agenda.
Well, I'll move to approve the draft agenda, but I want to make a correction on it.
You want to make a correction on it? Okay. We cannot make a correction until we have that approved, and then a second on that. Do we have a second on approving the draft agenda?
Dwayne, Chris Corbett, recognized.
Second. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay,
Before we approve the agenda, I'd like to make an adjustment to the agenda.
And now the floor is open for discussion on the draft agenda. And I think
Lyndon,
I heard Rob.
For the stack.
Robin. Yeah, Robin, please.
Lyndon. Who else? Okay, Robin, go ahead.
Well,
Dwayne
Lark
has to be recognized.
Okay, Dwayne, I got you.
Okay, on the section on the affiliate nominations, it says, item C, the PNB welcomes and seats the 2021 affiliate directors. The bylaws say, I'm reading, affiliate directors shall serve one-year term, which shall commence with their seating at the regular January meeting. So we can select them tonight, but they don't get seated until January.
I think you are probably correct on that point. Does anybody want to verify that by taking a quick look at the bylaws? I believe Robin is correct. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, this is Lawrence.
Yes, Lawrence.
Be correct.
Yeah, Robin is correct. The affiliate directors get seated in January at the first meeting.
A little error in the agenda, so we will certainly hear from the nominees tonight, and they will be officially seated at the next regular meeting in January. Okay, which means that the current affiliate directors are still the current affiliate directors. okay, Lyndon.
Yes, thank you. I move that item 10B be removed from the open agenda and moved to the closed meeting.
Okay. Is there a second for this motion?
I second. This is Sandra.
Okay. Are there any objections to moving that to the closed agenda? It does sound to me like it probably should be in the closed agenda.
I object.
Okay. Wayne, do you want to speak on that?
Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chair. Well, first off, on the face of it, and I recall one previous member who are no longer with us, but on a local station board, always indicate that one of the things we take to executive session don't have to go to executive session. It's as if we want to do things undercover. Now, there's not one thing that any reasonable person who would make arguments for or against could not control themselves and not speak specifically about any one individual. What we're talking about is a process. And generally what we want to protect when we're discussing personnel issues is personnel by name, maybe personnel who are currently by status or position. Obviously, personnel salaries, etc. None of that will be discussed with respect to process. This issue here and this motion is dealing with process, and I think the members, the 2 or 3 or 10 or 15 or 20 who are listening now, and the perhaps hundreds who may listen in the future, should have access to this discussion, a very frank and open discussion about process, not about individuals, not about personnel, not about names, not about amounts of money paid. None of that have to be discussed when we're discussing this process. And I just want the public to know just how ridiculous and unfair this process went forward. And I think it should be an open session.
Chair, okay. This is a timekeeper. We are out of time for this item.
We're out of
time. And I have a point of information. Yeah.
Yeah, we need, unless I will entertain a motion to extend time on the agenda approval. Otherwise, we have to immediately go to a vote.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, Lawrence. You may.
I'd like to extend this item for 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Do we have a second?
I second that.
Okay, we have a second. Okay, are there any objections to extending this item for 5 minutes?
And I have a request for information, Chair, Lawrence.
What is your request for information, Lawrence?
I'd like to ask Director Foley as to what is his intent as to wanting to move this motion into executive session.
Well,
Parliamentarian says that's
Tatum,
out of order.
Mr. Tatum, can you explain why that is out of order?
Because that would be debate, and we don't have the extension to debate. We have to go right to the vote.
John, we just made a motion.
We are in a debate process. It's just that I believe it's out of order because it was posed as a request for information, and it's really asking somebody to debate the issue, which is not really a request for information. That's sort of my take on it.
Chair, I respectfully disagree. I thought I put it in the form
one other
of a question.
Thing. Can you hold off for a minute, Lawrence? Can you hold off for a minute? Yeah, the other thing is that that motion to request for information while another motion is pending is also makes it out of order. So that's about four things.
The motion to request a request for information while a discussion is pending is out of order, are you saying?
Yeah, while the motion to extend time, because the purpose of extending time is to have more time to debate. So your second answer was correct as well. You don't extend debate when you haven't concluded whether you will be able to extend debate. So that's
okay.
I
think I had a brain fog here. I was under the impression we had just approved the extension of time. Is that wrong? So, Madam Secretary,
we approved extending.
We approved extending. Okay.
Yes.
So, in other words, we were about to go back to the discussion of the motion that was brought up by Mr. Foley.
Lyndon for the stack.
So, okay, Chair, it's my question in order then, because the motion was returned.
Well, I think your question will be answered since Lyndon is now going to be on the stack, so we can hear from Lyndon.
All right.
Thank you. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Thank you very much. I don't think this is about process. We already covered this. We covered it about in five or six meetings at KPFT, and there are places in here that Mr. Lark makes accusations that we have discussed here at the PNB, and they have been answered. And this is cloaked. This is cloaked as process, but what it really is, it's about personnel. And then, you know, in his very closing paragraph, he goes on there to name, you know, four or five or six of us and make disparaging remarks about us. Well, you know, this needs to be in a closed session because it is not about process.
This is Lydia to the stack.
Okay, Lydia, go ahead.
Okay, so my objection to it is that the where the process is, which I cannot discuss in open session, would shed light as to its confidential nature. But more than that, in terms of having the process discussion and finding fault with it, where the process is right now could be risky in terms of litigation. So I would say that it definitely should be in closed session. An open process discussion should always be in order, especially in public session, when before the process starts and so forth. But when you are at the end of a process, and that has been made clear to this board in the previous meeting, then we should not be discussing it at this juncture in open session.
Okay. Who else wants to be on the stack?
Lawrence to the stack.
Okay. Lawrence, go ahead.
What I was speaking to was in regards to Mr. Foley's motion. I did ask him a question as to why he would want to move it to executive session, and I didn't hear the answer. Maybe he answered it, but I didn't hear it. But I was addressing that because in the motion that he submitted in regards to, without saying any names, the GM, it doesn't reveal who the GM is. It just reveals some of the questions that he has, and he wants those answered. So that's why I don't think it's it belongs in executive session. I believe it belongs in open session.
Okay. Anybody else?
Dwayne Lark.
Okay, Mr. Lark, go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Foley misrepresents the whole notion that this has been discussed in the PNB. And the fact that it may have been discussed in a supermajority experience and environment at the KPFC, MSRC, and including the LSB, does not mean that these issues have been addressed properly. And as it relates to the IED's comment, no one has to discuss any decision that she's made or not made. The public has a right to hear. Notwithstanding any decision that's been made, the fact that if this body finds that there have been improprieties and inconsistencies and a violation of elected members' rights to have a fair process, then it would be appropriate for anybody to say that any decision that may have been made or may not have been made is going to be addressed. So I ask the members of this body to allow the public to hear what went on in this so-called open process. No one's going to discuss individuals. I know I'm not going to discuss individuals and their names and who was considered, who wasn't considered. Just the process that was used. And we even have in our bylaws a modicum of process by the fact that an MSRC should be, or whatever name individual stations call their committee that do the process of searching for a new manager or evaluating an existing manager, notwithstanding the fact that we admonished and required KPFA to get its house in order with respect to something, in my opinion, that's less of a grievance with respect to the motion we made to KPFA to correct and address some of the issues that one of our members had concern of with respect to management evaluation. And this is management selection. So we discussed that, and I'm just saying that it should be important to note that the public have a right to know what the process is. And the public have a right to know.
Point of order?
Hold on. We have a order. What is the point
of order? Mr. Chair, time was called.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Mr. Lark to finish up. He sounded like he was about to finish, which he did.
I was. Thank you for that respect.
Okay. How much time do we have left on this item, Lawrence?
I'm sorry. I was muted. We have 1 minute. 1 minute left, Chair.
All right, 1 minute.
Mr. Chair, this is Polina seeking recognition.
Okay, go ahead, Polina.
I believe there's an item on the agenda that is about the same, similar issue. I believe there's an item that we're going to consider on the open agenda that was read to consider annulling, nullifying the GM search at KPFT. Is that correct?
That's what we're we are discussing, whether or not to put that item into the closed session.
I believe those are two different items.
No, that's the item we're discussing.
I thought that there was an item by Mr. Foley and another one by Mr. Lark. Am I wrong?
Mr. Foley made a motion to move 10B into the closed session. So that's what we're
debating.
Which
one is 10B? Is it Mr. Foley's motion or Mr. Lark?
Mr. Lark's.
Uh-huh. So Mr. Foley's motion is still in open agenda.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if that's the case, I'll be finished in 10 seconds. Why can't we discuss one in open session and the other one in closed? They should both be either in open or in closed session. Thank you.
Okay. We are out of time for this item. I think we just need to go to a vote. And what's on the floor is Mr. Foley's motion to move item 10B to the closed session and remove it from the open session agenda. Obviously there are objections to this, so let's just take a vote on it. Madam Secretary, could you please take the vote on this?
Yes. Yes, Grace Aaron votes yes. Robin Collier?
Yes.
Okay, Chris Corey?
Yes.
Okay, Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes means open session.
Yes is to send it to closed session.
No.
Okay, Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Okay. Jan Goodman? Back to Jan. Heather Gray?
Yes. Yes. Jan Goodman, yes.
Okay. Heather Gray?
No.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs? Wally James?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Dwayne Lark?
No.
All right. Ron Pinchback?
No.
Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Okay. Sandra Rowland?
I vote yes. Me?
Okay. Thank
yes.
you, Sandra.
Affirmative.
Lawrence Reyes? I hear you, Sandra. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Okay. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
Okay. James Sagerton?
Yes, we have an echo.
Okay. Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
All right. Andrea Turner? Back to Andrea. Polina Vasiliev?
Votes no.
Okay. Tom Voorhees? Tom Voorhees? Come back to Tom. I didn't hear Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Oh, not right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And Eileen, you passed.
You passed.
Yeah, I'll vote
yes.
Excuse me. I vote yes. Yeah, the echo is kind of horrible.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's a bad echo. Andrea Turner? Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll count up.
Would you state the issue again? This is Ralph here. Maybe I missed something. You state the issue that we're voting on again?
We're voting on whether to Dwayne Lark put forward a motion to nullify the management general manager's search committee process. And this is a motion to refer that agenda item to closed session.
I say yes.
Okay. So we have... we have 14 yeses, and 5 noes. And before I go to the chair, we're missing Andrea Turner. She's not here. Okay, 14 yes, 5 no. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
So this motion passes, and that agenda item is moved to closed session.
We now have to...
Mr. Chair,
we are not finished. We have to now vote on the draft agenda as amended.
Mr. Chair, request for information from Pauline.
What is your request for information?
I believe that there are two... what I was trying to... explain, there are two items, the item 10B and 10C. And what the item 10B is, in fact, the request that the... Are they both being moved? Are they both moved to closed session?
Let me answer. 10C, since 10C depends on 10B being in the open session, it is moot at this point. So it's off the agenda for the open session. It could certainly be reintroduced in the closed session. Anyway, we have to finish approving the draft agenda before we can get on with the business of the meeting. So are there any objections to the draft agenda as amended?
Chair Steinberg, this is Andrea again. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I voted, and then I don't know what's happening to the secretary, but you say I'm not here. I signed in.
Nobody heard
and
you.
And I vote. And okay, and I voted, and she says, Andrea, she put me down in the yes column. So,
okay.
And then she says,
she's
not here.
Well, we already took the vote. We can maybe put a footnote that you intended to vote yes, but we already took the vote.
There was no intent. She wrote it down as that. So I'm concerned about...
I'm sorry.
I want to make sure that is voted.
Nobody heard you. It wasn't just the secretary.
She responded. Okay.
No, Andrea, I didn't respond. I called your name 3 times. And heard no response whatsoever, and I don't think anyone else did either.
Okay.
I would suggest if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Can
you hear me now?
That somehow your vote was missed, and you intended to vote the way you did. If you want, if that's okay, I don't.
Okay.
Anyway, if there are no objections,
anything to keep moving forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
If there are no objections, then the agenda as amended is approved, and we now go on to the next item of business, which is the approval of minutes for the open session of November 5th, which continued on November 12th. Are there any corrections that anybody has to offer to those minutes? No? Okay. Then those minutes are considered approved, and they can always be corrected later. And the next item are the nominations for the affiliate directors. We received 2 nominations, and one was for Heather Gray from WRFG in Atlanta, who is currently a board member, currently an affiliate director, and the other nomination was from Jose Gutierrez Jr. from KAOS. What city is that in, Mr. Gutierrez?
That's in the capital of Washington State, Olympia.
Olympia, okay. Mr. Gutierrez would be a new affiliate director. There are the nomination period has, for other affiliate directors has elapsed. So since these are the only two nominees, I think they will be seated by acclamation at the January meeting of the Pacifica Board. So I think at this point, let us hear from the two affiliate directors. I think we have allotted 5 minutes for each of you. Who would like to go first?
Chair, this is Lawrence with a correction. This is a 15-minute item.
A 15-minute item. We might leave a little time for questions and answers.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
Yes, I think as a matter of record, the vote for acclamation should be tonight. Then they are seated in January. That's been the process. Just
for
the sake of our minutes.
Thank you,
Chair.
So let's hear from the employee. Yeah, let's hear from the nominees first. Lawrence, what is your point of order?
My point of order is that we should not vote till we hear from the nominees first. Thank you.
We're about to hear from the nominees. I agree. Okay.
Me too.
So let's hear from, Mr. Gutierrez, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you.
Words about yourself, and be prepared to answer a couple of questions from anybody who wants to ask.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Go ahead.
My name is,
you have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. My name is Jose Gutierrez, Jr. I'm a almost lifelong Pacifica supporter as a listener, programmer, a producer. Been a big fan and supporter, admirer of the Pacifica Network and activity in the community. And I started my radio career at Chaos as a middle school student and continued, in other public and community and private media industry from TV and radio and film. And it was just, always a great privilege to, have Pacifica be one of the programs that we carry at Chaos and at the other stations where I was in management, just because, what Pacifica represented along with some other, notable media organizations. So, I was presented with the opportunity to help be a part of the movement to help steer Pacifica. It sounds like Pacifica's enduring some challenges, multiple challenges and opportunities. And so just the opportunity to serve, as part of my family's heritage is to be a servant, especially to the public and those who are in need of help or those who could use improvement or, those who could just use a hand. And so, it's just a privilege. An opportunity to, be here and offer my presence and service and whatever I can do to help improve anything that's going on here with Pacifica and learn and listen, see what some of these challenges might be and how we can attack them and, have put together a good strategy to, continue a heritage of proud public service through Pacifica and other community, independent, and public radio, and other forms of media, especially other forms of media that are emerging and have been emerging for the last 15 years. That's a little bit. I don't know what else I might, and I'm open to any questions, comments.
Thank
clarification. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gutierrez. Would anybody like to ask Mr. Gutierrez any questions?
This is Lydia.
Lydia, go ahead.
Hi. So do you welcome, and do you edit sound and video?
Yeah, I do.
Excellent. Excellent. I'll refer to more in my report. You're hired. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else? And yeah, let me give you my welcome. It pleases me to have you on the board starting in January. I hope you have a good experience being on the board, and I'm sure I have a good experience having you on the board.
Thank you.
Lawrence and Nancy.
James, also, please.
Okay, try to make your questions brief, because we still haven't heard from our other nominees. Okay, go ahead.
Is it me, Lawrence, Jim?
Yeah. Lawrence. Yeah.
Okay. Jose, thank you for stepping up. I appreciate it. I see in your resume that our secretary sent for the board members. Pretty impressive. I don't know who's making all that background noise, but they need to mute themselves.
Could I please mute those who are not on speaking right now? Thank you.
So my question is, I see that you have a diverse background in media and the kind of work that you've done. In Olympia, Washington, are you in touch with any of the indigenous communities?
Oh, yes. I'm certainly involved with the multiple of the indigenous communities here in Olympia and the greater Puget Sound and the region of the Pacific Northwest, yes.
And does your show address a lot of the systemic issues that they have historically experienced as a result of institutional trauma?
Yeah. My daily life is a stance in recognition and for the upliftment of indigenous people in this country. Intertwined in my show, and I guess my flagship show is primarily hip-hop culture show. And so dealing with hip-hop culture, that certainly acknowledges, not rap music, but hip-hop culture acknowledges indigenous people and the principles of peace, love, unity, having fun, and knowledge. And so, it's a great duty to honor indigenous people. The whole reason everybody's on this call and our ancestors survived anything in the Americas. So, that's never lost upon me. And again, as a servant, any duty I have is definitely includes indigenous people. And the
thank
culture.
You,
and yeah. Thank you for the question.
Okay. Nancy?
Can I be on the stack, Jan Goodman?
Jan, yeah, I'll add you to the stack. I think we're going to need an exception on this item. Okay, we'll get to it. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, Jose. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Nancy.
Glad you're here and so glad you, as Lauren said, stepped up, and you sound like a well-grounded person, and glad to have you. I was wondering if you could say a little bit about the programs of Pacifica that you have pulled into your stations.
Well, at Chaos, right now, I guess I could say what's currently running. I'd have to speak with John Hamilton, because we have programming, a whole mix-up that's going on right now. I couldn't say what we do have active. A lot of our people like myself who are programmers and live producers, they're not producing because our studios are actually not functioning. So to give you a accurate account of what, you know, from what's running through Democracy Now! And Pacifica and National Native News Network. I don't know what all programs are running and streaming live right now.
Sure.
My familiarity with Pacifica has been, you know, since the early 90s or the mid 90s. And this, you know, innovative, that's what I cherish and continue to want to see is, I guess, the original principles of Pacifica, what it stands for in terms of, you know, being a representative of the fact that the airways belong to the people. And news, information, and alternative forms of media are serving the public. So to give you an answer, I couldn't give you an accurate answer at the moment, and I'm sorry I wasn't prepared for that question. But
that's an honest answer. I like that.
Yeah, I can't say because our programming schedule is totally out of whack, and there's only a few of our original content programmers who are even producing anything right now. It's a handful. So a lot of stuff is streaming. A lot of stuff is through syndication or, you know, recorded programming, like Amy Goodman and some other national programs, unfortunately. Well, they're great programs, but just we don't have our original programming schedule.
Mr. Gutierrez, if I may say so, We have some people in Pacifica who know how to do live programming remotely, and there's special software you can get to do that. And I'd be happy to tell you more about that offline, if you like.
I would love to. I'd love to learn that so I could extend that to some of the other programmers. Myself, just a handful of people still have active programming. We'd love to make it easier for a lot of others who maybe have not been around long. Who don't have facilities at home or off of the station campus. So that'd be excellent. I appreciate that offer.
Okay, so let's connect later, you know, either over the weekend or early next week.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. James, you're next on the stack.
Yeah, thank you. I'd just like to ask Mr. Gutierrez and welcome, as all others have said, if he could give us a little more information about his contact with Pacifica. Was it in connection with a particular station? You know, how did he learn of us and become aware of us and the history? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I was fortunate. I was fortunate as a middle school student to begin my career in broadcasting, and it started with Chaos Radio here, where I'm at right now, and I still do work with and still, you know, mentor broadcasters. And so our, you know, what I can remember, first memory, is Pacifica was a network, a media network that provided some of the most valuable news and information alongside anything else that was on public radio or community or college independent radio during my formative years of broadcasting. It was synonymous with independent, public, progressive, and not politically like leaning to any party progressive, but just it had a powerful voice and an uncompromising voice of trying to deliver media. And so this is just it's synonymous with my whole introduction to radio. It was Pacifica, the Pacifica Network, Pacifica Radio, and you know, I always thought that it was like part of Chaos. That's how much it was associated with our station in Olympia, which is a very popular station wherever I go in the country and outside. People seem to be familiar with Chaos, and so I always had an idea that you know, we were Pacifica, and we're not. You know, obviously it's the four flagship stations of Pacifica, but that's how closely we were connected to it, and that's, you know, thanks to people like Julie Kellen and Dr. Michael Huntsberger, who were the management at that time. I mean, that's what I could say about my experience with Pacifica at Chaos, at least.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Jan, your turn. Jan Goodman.
Sorry, I had muted myself, of course. Am I correct that you also teach classes relating to media and so forth?
Yeah, I teach at four institutions of higher learning here in Olympia, four basically public. And I teach media and communications at three of the schools here. And so it's, you know, ranges from at Evergreen, taught broadcasting and communication. So part of those classes would be in training at Chaos. And at the other schools, journalism and public speaking and composition, writing, journalism at Northwest Indian College and also South Puget Sound College. Yeah, some of my privileged experience.
Do you ever recruit any of those students to be interns or recruit interns to go to become students? I'm just curious because
this
is an issue around us, is that we need to kind of pull in more interns and students, and I'm just wondering what kind of experience you might have in that arena.
Well, that would be, the answer to that is yes. Every student in every class I teach, not only in the communication courses, but, you know, it's a principle that for me and that I teach all the students or share with them my experience that, you know, experience in media and communications will complement and enhance any and every career. From engineers to janitors to doctors, anybody who can learn to speak and convey a competent message, which just requires some training and confidence. Some people are blessed and brilliant with certain skills, but, you know, these are skills that can be attained. So every student, the hundreds of students who come through my courses, all of them have been offered not only the awareness of Chaos and also our local television station, that I'm affiliated with, but also opportunities to tour and be trained at each, because each station offers, used to be free training, but there's like exchange for volunteer time now. There's been costs associated with training, getting free training and certification at the radio station and at Thurston Community Media, Thurston TV. So, yes, the answer is yes, and that's just a very important message every time I'm before students. Especially the college students who are kind of more prepared to pursue some professional life.
Chair, this
Great.
Is our item timekeeper.
Yes, how are we doing?
We are out of time for this item, Chair. We are the 15 minutes have elapsed.
Okay. So, extension.
Chair, this is Colina.
We need an extension of, say, 10 minutes. Colina, do you want to make a motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion and also request a stack afterwards if it's should be appropriate. Yes.
I second.
What is your motion?
I'd like to move to extend for 10 minutes, please.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. I think we need to close off the Q&A with this nominee because we have actually another nominee. But I'll take one or two more people on the stack if people still want to. And you go ahead.
Can you recognize me, Chair? I requested the stack earlier.
Yep. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Jose, welcome. Welcome edition, definitely. What's the fundraising model of Chaos?
Currently, well, Chaos is one of our radio stations that's located at the Evergreen State College, so part of the money that funds Chaos is through student fees. And so that's become a reliant at Chaos. And some of the other forms of fundraising have been our spring, or, you know, seasonal drives, ongoing combined fund drives throughout the year where state employees and other employees can give to a fund from their check, a small portion of their check if they'd like to donate around the year donating. And, you know, that's primarily it. We've experienced a bit, you know, to give you this idea of chaos. There was a point where Chaos was a very high-performing fundraising organization, and we've experienced a lot of downturn on that over the last probably 10 to 15 years. You know, very, you know, like half, more than half of a loss of more than half of what we used to bring in. Very alarming for Chaos and probably a lot of other stations like this. Underwriting as well, you know. Those are the primary forms of how Chaos generates income.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else? I'll take one more on if you want to ask a question of Mr. Gutierrez. Okay, then let's thank you, Mr. Gutierrez.
Thank you, everyone, for your questions.
And we'll keep up the dialogue, and we just have limited time at this particular meeting. We do have another nominee, and that's Heather Gray, who will be returning to the board. Some of you know Heather very well, others less well, but I'd like to give Heather a chance to reintroduce herself. Go ahead, Heather.
Oh, thank you, Alex. I just want to say it was wonderful hearing about the work of Jose Gutierrez. It's just wonderful. So I have been a part of Pacifica for a while. I mean, I was previously on the board as well, and then this past year. But my work in media has been, as far as radio is concerned, I want to say that WRFG, meaning Radio Free Georgia, was created thanks to WBAI. The founder of our station actually was working with Bayard Rustin in New York and heard WBAI, and he thought, oh, this is wonderful. We need to have something like that in Atlanta. So he came back and created WRFG, and this is in the 1970s. So in a couple of years, we're going to have our 50th anniversary, actually. So I was involved with producers, actually, in the activism work that I've done over the years, which, you know, in the 1980s, I was working for Coretta King. I directed the nonviolent program there for a while. But the other thing is that I was involved in the anti-apartheid movement. And so we always had the opportunity, thankfully, at WRFG to have a voice. But forgive me, I'm talking about some of my travels, but when I was living in the Philippines briefly for a while, I was writing letters back to friends of mine in Atlanta about what was happening in the Philippines. And when I came back, Gary Washington, who was the producer of the labor program at WRFG, he said, oh, Heather, you need to get on WRFG. Nobody is saying anything about what's happening in the Philippines. So in any case, that was in the early 1990s, and I was really honored to be able to do this because that was my introduction to the whole concept of community radio and the history of Pacifica and learning about Lou Hill, et cetera, et cetera. One of my dear friends, Jack O'Dell, was also the chair of the Pacifica board for a number of years also, so I began to learn a lot more about community radio just generally in the United States, but also internationally. On the African continent and so forth. So I've been blessed to be a part of this all these many years because I realized the importance of community radio as a voice for the community and the masses of the people. I mean, it's so essential. And as I've said in some of the board meetings, one of the things that also so impresses me about Pacifica, of course, is its history, but also the archives. It's just so remarkable. I keep talking to people about what's available with the Pacifica Archives. But in any case, and you know, of course, that also relates to Dr. King and also W.E.B. Du Bois. I'm so impressed, and I'm repeating myself, you all. I know I've mentioned this in another board meeting, but, you know, Atlanta also has a lot of focus about W.E.B. Du Bois, who taught at Clark Atlanta University, and you know, we have a statue of Du Bois now on the campus, but there was a speech that he gave in Los Angeles in 1952 that is in the archives, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is just wonderful. So I could go on and on about the archives, I think, but I always need to know more about it. But I've been honored to serve on the Pacifica board, and I know there's always a lot of work to do. I always have a lot of questions about, you know, where we go from here on a lot of things, and I know we have financial challenges. I'm hoping that we can continue to explore this and make some changes in this. I know it's difficult. It's a difficult time for everyone. But in any case, I've been honored to serve on the Pacifica board, and I'm just so also pleased to be able to serve in whatever capacity I can. So thank you.
Lawrence to the stack, Chair.
And Paulina to the stack, please.
Chair, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I got Lawrence. I got Paulina. Who else wants to be on the stack? Okay, Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. And this is a question for both Heather and Jose. In regards to, we have, we're about to end this term without the Affiliates Network Task Force meeting. Are either one of you interested, or will you convene a meeting of the Pacifica Affiliates Task Force, which I think is very important?
I would say absolutely. Yeah, the affiliates are having their meetings every week on Thursday, actually. So we do have that process in place. And I've been going to as many of those as I can. Pardon me?
I'm talking about the P&B Task Force.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Was that Mr. Gutierrez? Did you want to say anything? You're kind of new to this.
Yeah, I was just wondering if I could be informed a bit about the P&B task force. But
it's basically an informal group of volunteers from throughout the Pacifica stations who simply want to focus on improving the affiliates program and better communications between the affiliates and Pacifica and so on. Is that more or less it? Does anybody else want to add anything to that description?